The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
I'm curious whether your church acknowledges or does anything with Advent. Do you have an Advent wreath as a part of your worship service? Do you sing Advent songs? Did they mention yesterday that it's the first Sunday in Advent? Maybe this is new to you. I mean, for a lot of people who didn't grow up in a liturgical church background, Advent kind of sounds like one of those things that those high church people do. Well, Advent, very simply, the word means coming. It's the expectation. We're preparing ourselves to celebrate the birth of Christ, his first coming. We're also reminding ourselves of his second coming and preparing ourselves for that as well. Longing, you know, the first announcement of the birth of Jesus comes in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God says to the woman about the serpent that her seed will one day crush the head of the serpent. That's the first announcement that a son, a child of Eve, would somehow do away with evil, put to death the enemy. That's the first announcement. And from that point until Jesus is born, there are long millennia of waiting. People wondering, when will God send a deliverer? When will there be a Messiah? When will there be someone like Moses to deliver us? When will there be a new king like David to rule and reign? And so there was all this longing and expectation for hundreds, thousands of years until Jesus was born. Now we're in the season after his first advent, where we are waiting for his second advent, and the Christmas season, as we prepare to celebrate his first coming, reminds us of his promise of a second coming. And it's been hundreds, even thousands of years since the promise was made, but we still wait faithfully, just as they waited for his first coming. And that's what Advent is there to remind us of. So at our church, where it's required, I'm the one who requires this. I require that we sing on the first Sunday in Advent, O come, Emmanuel, and come, thou long expected Jesus. Those are two hymns of the Christmas season, really Advent hymns that are all about preparing for the coming. And I'm aware of the fact that in a lot of churches today, people would go, I've never heard those songs. And I'm thinking, well, we need to refresh you a little bit. We need to bring you up to speed with what our brothers and sisters have sung for hundreds of years and maybe revisit some of these great Advent hymns. And then I also want to know what you're doing in your home with your family during these weeks leading up to Christmas to intentionally make sure that the focus of your home is on the reason for the Christmas season. It is a perpetual, ongoing battle for us to be trying to keep the birth of Christ at the center of our activities during the Christmas season. So I want to know what you're doing. Are you doing anything special? Do you have any maybe traditions that you've done for years? Maybe there's something somebody's told you about and you're trying it this year. Help all of us figure out how we can make the weeks leading up to the birth of Christ more Christ-centered and Christ-focused and less distracted by Hallmark movies and by the gift list that we're working our way through. I think in modern worship, we have left behind some things that ought not be left behind and need to be revisited. I think in a lot of our churches, there is a there's a deficit because of some of the historical elements of the worship of the church over time that have been discarded, and I think they need to be revisited. I have these friends, and they've been doing this for a number of years, mom and dad and four kids. What they do is on the 24 days leading up to Christmas, from December 1st to December 24th, they have a calendar of people they're going to intentionally bless. So, for example, on Tuesday, which is trash day in their neighborhood, they will roll their trash cans out to the curb, but on top of the trash can, they put a note that they tape to the trash can and a bag of cookies for the people who are coming around gathering the trash, and just say, because of what Jesus has done for us, we want to bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. They take a pizza to the local fire station, or a couple of pizzas, and they work this out ahead of time so that pizza doesn't just show up, but they say, we want to bring dinner for you at the firehouse tonight. Thank you for what you've done. They will go and find ways that they can serve. If it snows, they go and shovel people's driveways. But they've mapped out for 24 days, here's what we're going to do, here's who we're going to work to intentionally bless, and they've made that a part of their rhythm. And the Christmas season for them, those kids, every day, can't wait to go be a blessing to somebody. Now, if that's what is dominating your thinking during the month of December, I think you're on the right track, right? As opposed to all of the things we can get sidetracked with, all of the activities that can distract us. If we can be thinking about how to intentionally bless others, all of a sudden, Christmas takes on a new meaning. One year, when our oldest two, our daughters, were five, and I think they were five, no, it had to be six and three. I think we just had our son, but Marianne took our six-year-old and our three-year-old, and the three of them, Marianne and Amy and Katie, all memorized Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I didn't know anything about this. And so on Christmas Eve, they sat me down and said, Daddy, we have a present for you for Christmas, a Christmas Eve present. And again, I didn't know what was coming. And we've got, with the video camera from back in the day, when you couldn't just whip out your phone and record this, you had to go get the video camera. We still have the video of these precious daughters reciting, memorized the birth story from Luke chapter 2. You know, and in those days, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken. What we're familiar with, what Charlie Brown uses in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Is there a passage of Scripture that you and your family could memorize together during the Christmas season? Maybe that's the one. Maybe that's a way to be intentionally focusing your hearts on the coming of Christ during Christmas. It's not going to happen on its own. You understand that, right? You are not going to have Christ be at the center of your holiday unless you purpose for that to be the case. Because there's so much pulling you in other directions and saying, check this out. Here's where your focus should be. Here's what's important. Unless you are making it a priority, it's not going to be a priority. So be thinking through what you can do, what your family can do, how you can keep Christ central to your holiday celebration. I've heard of the tradition where families will focus on what gift can we give to God during the Christmas season. Not a tangible gift, right? It's not that we have something to offer God, something that he created that we're giving back to him. You remember in 2 Samuel 24, where David says he would not give a sacrifice to God that costs him nothing? Maybe the gift you need to give to God at Christmas is the gift of forgiving somebody that you've been harboring bitterness toward. Pursuing reconciliation. Maybe the gift you need to give to God at Christmas is a commitment to spending time with Him every day. Maybe that's the most important gift you can focus on during the season. Do you have a devotional book that you read as a family? Do you have an Advent devotional? There are a number of them that are out. There are many online devotionals that you can get for free. You can get emails sent to you every day with a devotional, Advent devotional in them. Maybe that's something you read out loud at the breakfast table or at the dinner table. Or read Luke chapter 2. Read the Christmas story. Do you set up a nativity scene in your home? If you do, do you put out different pieces leading up to Christmas? That's one of the ways that families keep it interactive, is you put up the manger, but you don't put out the pieces, and then gradually you start to add the various pieces, the shepherds and the donkeys, and you do that. Maybe you have an Advent calendar that you use. Maybe you take your family or a group from your church and you go sing Christmas carols at a nursing home, or if you can do it in some kind of a care facility or a children's hospital. Take gifts to kids who are in the children's hospital. The point is, if we're going to make Christmas what it ought to be in our hearts heading into this season, we're going to have to do that purposefully and intentionally. One of the things we've done this year is we have provided Christmas gifts to school children. This is something our church did, Christmas gifts for school children at a school in the Dominican Republic. These are kids with lower income settings. The Christmas gifts we're giving to them include things like crayons and paper, which they are thrilled to have, and toothbrushes and toothpaste, things that they don't always have available. How can we bless others? That's where our focus ought to be.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.